We begin the current daf. So this tiny stuff lamed. We begin 8 lines down from the top of the yamid. The Gemara continues quoting from our Mishnah, which discusses the month of Av, which starts up at Rosh Chodesh, goes to Shavuot Shachabai, then comes to Erev Tisha B'Av, and then comes to the height of it, the Avelis and the Isurim on Tisha B'Av. So Mishnah told us that Erev Tisha B'Av, the evening before Tisha B'Av, lo yechel adam beis tavshilim. So on the day before, towards evening time, a person shouldn't eat 2 cooked dishes, etc. So the Gemara qualifies this. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, Leishanu el meshei shoyz el malo. We only said this, that one shouldn't eat 2 cooked dishes by his meal. It was only talking about from 6 hours into the day and onward, meaning from noon onward. However, from 6 hours and before, meaning towards the morning time, the first half of the day, then mutter, then it's permitted to have 2 cooked dishes. Another statement from Rabbi Yehuda, another qualification is halacha. Vam Rabbi Yehuda, also Rabbi Yehuda says, Leishanu el besudah hamafsikba. We only said this halacha by what's called the Suda HaMafsekes, by the meal that we stop our eating. And that means to say, before Tisha B'Av, we're not going to be having another meal. So therefore, that meal, one cannot have 2 cooked dishes. Besuda Shein HaMafsek B'Av Mutter. However, regarding the meal that we're not ending, there's still going to be another meal that day, then it's permitted to have 2 cooked dishes. And the Gemara tells about Tavei L'Kula, both of these halachas from Rabbi Yehuda that qualify this halacha are both saying leniencies. B'tzrichin, you need both of them. Had he only told it to us regarding that it's only if it's the last meal. But then Havamina, I still would have thought if I didn't have the first version, the Lishna Kama, that even if it's the first 6 hours of the day, if your last meal for Erev Tisha B'Av is going to be breakfast, then that meal is Suda HaMafsekes, and therefore you can't have 2 cooked dishes. Kamash B'Alam, that's why I had the first version of Yehuda, Meshay Shos L'Mala, only if it's afternoon time. Have we only had the first version of Yehuda, that this halacha applies only if it's after 6 hours into the day, I would have thought to say, any meal that you're eating after 6 hours into the day is going to be forbidden to have 2 cooked dishes because it's afternoon. That's why we needed the second version of Yehuda to tell you that the iser of eating 2 cooked dishes is only after noon and only when it's during the Suda HaMafsekes. But if it's neither one of those, then it's going to be permitted to have 2 cooked dishes. Now the Gemara tells us Tani Kalish Kanama. We have a braisa that supports the first clarification of Rabbi Yehuda, and Tani Kalish Nabasa, and we have a braisa that supports the second version. As the Gemara explains, Tani Kalish Nabasa, we have a braisa that says, like the second version, it says, Hasayid Erev Tisha B'Av. Someone's having a meal on Erev Tisha B'Av. So imasid lasid sudacher. So if he's going to have another meal, then mutalach abasa v'lishas yain. Then he's allowed to have meat and drink wine. As we said, that the halacha does not apply if it's not by suda mafsekis, which was the second version of Yehuda. Vimlav, and if not, asalach abasa v'lishas yain. If you're not going to have another meal, then it is forbidden to have meat and wine by that meal again, because those are the halachas by the suda mafsekis and afternoon is that you can't have 2 cooked dishes, and neither can you have meat and wine. Tanya Kalish Nakama, we learned like the first version's qualification, that Erev Tisha B'Av, lo yoichel adam shnei tavshilim. Again, before Tisha B'Av, one cannot have 2 cooked dishes, and lo yoichel basav leisha yayin, you're not allowed to eat meat, nor drink wine. Now, Shimon Gamliel Omer, as we had this machlekes in our Mishnah, says Yishana, you have to change. Now, as we said in our Mishnah, what's the understanding of that halacha? So in this braisa, it's explained that Amar Yehudi says, Ketzim Mishana, what does it mean to deviate? If he normally would eat 2 cooked dishes, now he should eat 1 cooked dish. If he normally would eat with 10 people, meaning that they would eat dine with him as a way of honoring him, then he should only dine with 5 people. If he normally would drink 10 cups, then he should drink 5 cups. So that's that machlekes. Now, this qualification that the Braisa is going to quote now is like the first version of Rabbi Yehuda. By Medvarmum, when we say these halachas, Amisheshos Lamala, it's after 6 hours into the day. Amisheshos Lamata Mutter, however, even if it's the last meal you're eating that day, but it's before noontime and Erev Tisha B'Av, then it would be permitted to have 2 cooked dishes and to have meat and to have wine. Now, related, the Gemara brings Tanida Chulin, another Braisa, a similar machlaikis. Erev Tisha B'Av, when it's Erev Tisha B'Av, lo yechel adam shnei tavshilim. The person should not eat 2 cooked dishes. Lo yechel basar, shouldn't eat meat. Leishta yayin, he shouldn't drink wine. The Rebbe Meir, that's the opinion of Rebbe Meir. V'chacham ma'arim yishana, he should change. In other words, regarding the two halacha of the two cooked dishes, they said there you should do the deviation. As we mentioned before, two have one, 10 people have 5 people. However, u'mamayit bebasa b'yayin, but they argue regarding this halacha, that the Tanakhama says you're not allowed to have meat and wine at all, that they say, similar to the yishana, is that you have to minimize it. Ketzav b'mayit, what does it mean to minimize? So if you normally would eat a liter of meat, so you should eat a half of that. If you normally would drink a lug of wine, so you should drink a half a lug of yain. And if you never would normally drink wine at all, then it's forbidden because you have to be mamayit, and you obviously can't go less than that, and therefore you can't have any wine by the Suda HaMasekas. He says, if the person was accustomed to generally eating radish or salty, either salty fish or salty meat, where there's not so much flavor after it's sat in salt for 3 days, as you will later on explain, so that's permitted. That's not considered something that's a delicacy that's making the meal more than it should be, as it's supposed to be very low key by the Sudam of Sekas. Similarly, we learned another brisam, kol shehu mishum tishabab. Anything that's forbidden because of Tisha B'Av, in other words, we're referencing as the Suda HaMafsekas, also lechel basa v'asa lishas yayin. So you're not allowed to eat meat, not drink wine, basa lirchaitz, and you neither are allowed to bathe at that time. However, kol she'ein mishum tesbav, whatever is not for a component of Tisha B'Av, either it means to say that it's a Suda HaMafsekas by a different time of Tisha B'Av, in other words, the last meal that you're going to eat before that public fast, or it's even talking about before Tisha B'Av, but it's not the last meal you're going to have, then mutalecha basa, then you're allowed to eat meat, lishas yayin, and drink wine. But va'aser, and some have the girsa actually that umutter lichetz, and then you'd be permitted to bathe. However, b'shmav b'yaseh m'shamavav, he says in the name of his father, kal shasha mutalecha basa, as long as you're allowed to eat meat, which actually Rashi says not to have the girsa and the Vilna Gaon of basa, because actually we're talking about by the Suda HaMafsekas, which you cannot have meat. However, as long as you could eat, mutalechetz, you're allowed to bathe, because since you're allowed to eat, you're allowed to bathe. Tarabon, we learn the brisa. Kol mitzvahs hanoigis ba'avol, all mitzvahs that apply to a mourner, noigis b'tesbav, apply to every person on Tisha B'Av. And moreover, asa b'chila b'shtia, a person is forbidden to eat and to drink, which these things do not apply to a novel. But we're saying even things besides the halachas of avelis, there are other things, eating and drinking, and bathing, u'besicha, and anointing, u'benilas a sandal, putting on shoes, b'tash m'shamita, having intimate relations, v'asalikras b'tar b'nevim k'suvim, one is not allowed to read from Chumash, from Navi, and from k'suvim, because as the Gemara later on bring, it says m'samchi lev, it makes the person rejoice, and one is not supposed to be, rather one is supposed to be in a state of mourning. V'lishnais b'mishnah b'talmud b'medrash, one is not allowed to learn from Mishnayis, Gemara, and Midrashim, u'b'halachas v'agadais, different halachas and agadatam. Aval, however, karehu b'makom she'en erogel likris. He's allowed to read from places of Chumash where he's not accustomed to reading, and that is since he doesn't know how to read it so well, so it's painful for him, and therefore that's not considered a simcha. And v'she'en b'makom she'en erogel lishnais, he's allowed to learn where he's not accustomed to learning. And v'kar b'kinis, he could read from the kinis, b'iyev, from Sefer Iyev, v'devarim harayim shabi Yirmiya, and from the bad things that are said in Sefer Yirmiya. And moreover, Tenegesh HaBesharab Matel, and even the little school children, they don't go ahead to learn. Shem Shinema, because it says a pasuk in Tehillim, Pekudi Hashem Yisharim, the commandments of Hashem are upright. Mesam Chilev, they make the heart rejoice, and that's not appropriate for a day of Tisha B'Av. Pehuda Aymer, he's even more stringent. He says, Afein Ekar B'mokam Shein the Rugged Licorice. You're not allowed to even read from Tanakh, even places where you're not accustomed to reading. Vein Hashem B'mokam Shein the Rugged Licorice, you can't learn where you're not accustomed to learning. Aval, however, he does agree, karehu b'iv, you could read from Sefer Iyev, u'bekinois, and by the kinois, u'bedvarim harayim shabi Yirmiya, and from the bad things that are foretold in Sefer Yirmiya, b'tineke shabes rabban, but moreover, the tineke shabes rabban, they also do not learn, shem shenem, like it says in the pasuk, p'kudi Hashem yisharim, m'sam chilev, that the commandments of Hashem are upright, they rejoice the heart. Now the Mishnah told us another qualifying factor, as we have just previously mentioned in the other brises regarding the Suda HaMafsekas of right before Tisha B'Av, besides the inability to eat two cooked dishes, la'yechel basar v'le'yesh yayin, not allowed to eat meat, nor are you allowed to drink wine. Now Tanu, we learn the brisam, aval oichel hu basar meliach, however he could eat salted meat, v'she'yesh yayin megitay, he could also drink wine from the flask, which the Gemara will explain. Basar meliach, salted meat, Now, ad kama, until how long would it still be considered full-fledged meat that it wouldn't be basar maliach and that it would be forbidden? Because once it's already salted, then it's not the same as full-fledged meat with its full flavor, and therefore then it would already be permitted by sudam hafsekas. So what's still considered regular meat? So Rav Chinah bar Kahana b'shmei d'Shmuel, he says, kol zman, and the gear says, shehu k'shlamim, as long as it's still like a carbon shlam, which carbon shlamim means to say that it didn't remain in its salty state for more than 2 days and one night, like the time you're allowed to eat a carbon shlamim. Now the reason why we picked like a shlamim is because we find that the carbon shlamim is called basar meat, as the Pasuk in Mayikra, Perek Zayin says, v'anoisim b'basar sevach ha-shlamim, whoever leaves over from the meat of a carbon shlamim, that is up until that amount of time that you're allowed to eat it, that's how far we see that it's called basar. But after that amount of time that you can eat a carbon shlamim, which is after 2 days and one night, then it already becomes invalidated after 2-3 days, it becomes overly salty, and hence that's considered basar maliach. But beforehand it's called basar, and only that type of meat would be forbidden to eat by the sudam hafsekas. Now the Gemara asks, v'yayin megitai, which is new and sweet wine, which is not as good as old wine, and it's diuretic and it's harmful for the person, ad kama, how long would that be considered fresh new wine, which again is not so flavorful, not so good, hence that would be permitted by sudam hafsekas? That's kozman shutaisis, as long as it's fermenting, that would still be considered yayin megitai, and that would be permitted to drink by the sudam hafsekas. Now, moreover, time we learn the braisa, the yayin taisis, aimed by mishum gilui, although there's a halacha that one's not allowed to leave wine uncovered, and if it is left uncovered, it's forbidden to drink from, because we're concerned what's called magula, that a snake maybe came to drink from it, and therefore there's the poisonous venom inside of it here. But yayin taisis, that's fermenting, there is no halacha of gilui, because the snake's not going to drink from it, because he runs away from it, because it's fermenting. Now, how long does it ferment for? That's gimel yom, as we said, that's for a period of 3 days. This is how he would accustom himself to eat his sudam hafsekas. Erev Tisha B'Av, mevi'in le'pascha riva b'melech. Erev Tisha B'Av, they would bring him dry bread with salt, and he would sit, when continuing on Tamid Beis, b'intanu l'karayim, he would sit between the oven and the stove, in other words, a very disgusting place in the house, and he would eat, and he would drink with it a flask of water, and it appeared to him, he looked like someone that had his dead person in front of him, waiting to be buried. That was the spirit that he was in on Erev Tisha B'Av because of the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. Now the Gemara continues with similar halachas relating to Tisha B'Av. Tanah Hasan, we learned over there in the Mishnah Masechet Pesachim. This is, Malkim Shenagu Lasa Malacha B'Tes B'Av Oisin. If someone is in a place where the minig, the custom is to do malacha, to do work on Tisha B'Av, then a person is allowed to. Malkim Shenagu Shalai Lasa. Say Oisin, if someone is in a place where the custom is not to do work on Tisha B'Av, then one's not allowed to do it. But no matter which location it is, even if it's in a place where people do work, but Talmudic scholars, they don't work on Tisha B'Av. Now, that, Shmuley Leimer, he says, a person should always make himself as if he's a Talmud Chacham, and therefore, no matter where he is, he shouldn't do work on Tisha B'Av. Shmuley Leimer, he says, a person should always make himself in this regard, like a Talmudic scholar, that he should be afflicted in that state on Tisha B'Av. Tanya, we learn in a different braisa. Whoever eats and drinks on Tisha B'Av, it's as stringent as if he ate and drank on Yom Kippurim. Rabbi Kiva, he says, whoever does work on Tisha B'Av, he never sees from that work any blessing that comes out of that type of work. The Chachamim, they say, whoever does work on Tisha B'Av, and doesn't mourn properly on Yerushalayim, and the Rabbi B'Simchasa, he does not see in the rejoicing of Yerushalayim. Shem, like it says, the Pasuk in Yeshaya, it says, Simchu es Yerushalayim, rejoice with Yerushalayim, v'gila ba kol ayvel, and rejoice with it all her lovers, sisu itu mesais, rejoice with her, rejoice, kol amasamalau, all who mourn over it. From here the sages said, kol amasab al Yerushalayim, whoever mourns over Yerushalayim, zeich v'roi b'simchasa, he merits to see with her rejoicing. V'shein amasab al Yerushalayim, and whoever does not mourn over Yerushalayim, hein v'roi b'simchasa, does not see the rejoicing over it. Tanya v'alcha, similar in the Braisa, Whoever eats meat and drinks wine on the Suda Hamafsekes of Tisha B'Av, Allah Akras Avayim, regarding him, the Pasuk says, Nicheskel, that their sins will be on their bones. And the Gemara continues quoting from our Mishnah regarding the halachas of Tisha B'Av. Yehuda mechayev bekfiyas hamita. Yehuda mandates that the beds have to be turned upside down. And the Chacham did not agree to that. So we learn Tanya, the Brisa clarifies this machlekes, that they said to Yehuda, Lidvarecha, according to your opinion, ubres umenikis, pregnant and nursing women who cannot sleep on the floor, matehelen, what's going to be with them? If the halacha mandates that you have to turn over the beds and no one can sleep on the beds, what are they going to do? Some lahem, Rabbi Yehuda said to them, Afani lo yamarti, lo biyachal, I also only said regarding a person that could. If you can't, then you can't. Tanya rachas, you learn the Brisa. Might Rabbi Yehuda lachacham, and Mishayin yachal, Rabbi Yehuda agrees, when you can't, then you can sleep on the bed. Umayd mecham, Rabbi Yehuda biyachal, and that the Chacham agreed to Rabbi Yehuda when you could. So the Gemara asks, if so, my benayu, what's the difference between them? Since they agree when you could, and he agrees when you cannot, so what exactly is the machlekes? So that the Gemara says, ikibay nayu shar mitis. The machlekes between them in this braisa is regarding other beds in the house where they're not sleeping on. Yehuda holds that the halacha mandates that when he said that you have to turn over the bed, it meant regarding some that could, regarding all the beds. Rabbanan held that only his bed did you turn over and not the other beds in the house. Kedetanya, like we learned in the braisa regarding a mourner. And as we said, Tisha B'Av, the halacha is applied like that of a mourner. When they said to turn over the bed, the person doesn't only turn over the bed that they sleep on. Rather, all the beds in the house, they turn over. However, Amar Rabbi says, halacha of the Chacham that argued Rabbi Yehuda is like how it's mentioned in our Mishnah, that the Chacham do not agree kol ikar at whatsoever. They do not agree when it's yachal. Even when it's yachal, they hold that halacha does not require turning over the beds, and one is allowed to sleep in the bed and does not have to sleep on the floor. Now the Mishnah told us regarding the happier moments, Amar Reb Shimon Gamliel, L'hayu yom tovim liYisrael. There were no greater holidays for the Jewish people, K'chamisha as ba'av or K'yom Kippurim, like the 15th of Av and Yom Kippurim. So the Gemara asks, Bishlam Yom Kippurim. We can understand Yom Kippurim why it's such a great day. From the Isba Slicha Mechila, it's a day of atonement and forgiveness. And moreover, it's Yom Shnitnu by Luchas Achrayinis. It's the day when the last pair of Luchas were given to us, which is the ones that we practically live by. Where that was on Shivas Betamiz, is when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from the mountain when he had the first Luchas. And then he broke them. On the 18th of Tamiz, he then grinded down the golden calf and he judged the sinners and they went up to Shemaim. He stayed there for 80 days, which the first 40 days is when he davened, as it says in Devarim Tes, V'esnap lefnei Hashem, Rabbam Yom, Rabbam Laila, that I davened, I was begging him to save the Jewish people. And then the second 40 days, it says, Kivirishayna, another 40 days. So if one calculates from Shavuos Betamiz until Yom Kippurim, comes out for a total of 80 days. You have the 12 remaining days of Tamiz, which is Chaser, so you have from 18 up until 29. Then you have the 30 days of Av, which is Mole. Then you have the 29 days of El, which comes out for a total of 71. Then you have the 9 days of Tishrei, which is 80 days. And then the evening of Yom Kippurim, that complements what was missing from the evening of the 18th of Tammuz, which is not part of the calculation, because when Moshe Rabbeinu went up, that was already passed, because he went up on the 18th during the day. So that comes out to a complete 80 days, night and day. And then in the morning of Yom Kippurim is when Moshe Rabbeinu came down, which was the 10th of Tishrei, which that day has been designated as Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, because it notified the Jewish people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave and had charata regarding the evil that the Jewish people had done and to punish them for that. And that's why the fast of Yom Kippurim was established on the 10th of Tishrei, which again, we can understand then what's so great about Yom Kippurim. There was the atonement for the Chet HaEgel, and also that's when we got our second pair of luchas. El Tesvav Ba'av Mahi, but what exactly is the great holiday of the 15th of Av? So the Gemara gives 6 interpretations of what is the Yom Tov of Tu Ba'av. First interpretation, Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, he says, it's Yom Shuhut Rishvatim Lo Be'ze Be'zeh. It was the day when all the different tribes from the 12 tribes were permitted to intermarry. Because the Torah says in Bamid Balamid Vav, V'chol Bas Yiresh Asnachla, that every daughter, who, if there's no brothers that survive the father, they will inherit it. But it also said over there, that you cannot have the woman then transfer those inheritances to another shevet, because everyone has to stay, the inheritance has to stay within that shevet. Now the problem is, if a woman marries another man from a different shevet, the man and then those inheritors which are from that shevet will inherit the Yerusha of her father, which is from a different shevet. Now when that was permitted, that they are allowed to intermarry, was on the 15th of Av, which the Gemara asked, my Darish, what was the extrapolation that they said that one is allowed to? Because as it says in Bamidbar, it says, Zeha Davar, this is the thing, Ashatziva Hashem Lebnei Tzlafchad Begemer, that Hashem had commanded to the daughters of Tzlafchad, where their father had died, without brothers, and they were just daughters, and they inherited, and they get to keep it, but they can't marry from other Shvatim, because then it's going to be transferred. Now the word Zeh means this, that is what's called a miut. It's excluding and saying, it's telling us that this halacha of not allowing the intermarriage between Shvatim is only applicable in this generation. That was the generation of the Bnei Slavchad in the Midbar. And thereafter, it was allowed for them to intermarry. That was said on Tu B'Av. A second interpretation the Gemara brings is Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Nachman. It was Yom Shehuter Shevet Binyamin Lo V'Bekal. It was the day that the tribe of Binyamin was allowed to marry into all the other Shvatim, because the rest of Klal Yisrael took an oath that said, Shenem, like it says the Pasuk in Shaftim, V'ish Yisrael Nishba B'Mitzpah Lemer, and every Jew in Klal Yisrael made an oath in the Mitzpah saying, Ish Mimenu Le'itin Bita L'Binyamin Le'isha, no man will give his daughter to Shevet Binyamin, and that's because of a certain incident that happened, and the rest of the Jewish people separated themselves from Shevet Binyamin. And however, on Tu B'Av, then they went and said, and now they could remarry. My Darsh, what was the interpretation? Amarav, they said, Mimenu. There is a mute here, which it says, Ish Mimenu, every man from them, Loyitim Bita L'Binyamin, will not give their daughter to Shevet Binyamin, meaning that their gezerah was only from themselves. However, B'lei B'mneinu wasn't from our sons. In other words, they didn't make it from their children. So therefore, the next generation was allowed to go ahead and intermarry with Shevet Binyamin. And that was a big simcha. That was a yamtim of Tu B'Av. A third interpretation, Rabbi Rochan Rabbi Yechanan, he says, it's Yom Shekalu by Mesa Midbar. It was the day that the generation of the desert, which was from ages 20 to 60, that they stopped dying. As we learn the Brisa that says that for 40 years, when the Jewish people were in the desert, every Erev Tisha B'Av, there was an announcement that went out and said, go ahead and go and dig a grave. And every single person would dig a grave, and they would sleep in that grave on the night of Tisha B'Av, because maybe he's going to die before he has a grave dug for him. The following morning, they would call out an announcement that Yibad Luchayim and Amesim, that let the live people separate from the dead people. Now, whoever still had a living spirit would get up and get out of the grave. And every single year they did this. On the 40th year they did it. And the next day, what do you know? Everyone got up and were still alive. Once they saw this, they wondered that and said, wait a second. It never happened such a thing as long as we could remember. Maybe we made a mistake with the calculation of the month. Maybe it's not really Tisha B'Av yet. So they went back and they slept again in the graves. And they did this night after night until they came to the 15th of Av. Once they saw on the 15th of Av, which is in the middle of the month, that the Levana was full, that's when it, after the by the waxing and waning, on the middle it's full, and no one had died, they realized that the calculations of the month that they had was correct. However, they had already completed the 40 years of the Gzeirah, and therefore, that day was Tu B'Av, they made that day into a Yomtim. Tamamar, like the Master said, that the reason why that really was essentially a Yomtim was because actually Kol Mesa Midbar, until those who would die in the Midbar, who at the time of the Chet HaMeraglim were between ages 20 and 60, until they all died out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't speak with a certain uniqueness of love and designation earmarked just from Moshe Rabbeinu, that there was no such a Dibur. Like it says the Pasuk in Devarim, it says, V'hikasher tama kol anshei melchama lamas, that it happened that when all the people of Melchama, which was between the ages of 20 and 60, that they died in the Midbar, then V'yidaber Hashem alai, then Hashem spoke to me, which means to say, then Eli haya dibur, then to me was the speech of Hashem to me, that was miyuchid for me. And as the Rashi says, although that beforehand it does say many psukim V'yidaber, but that those that want to say that it wasn't pe'al pe', it wasn't as direct, rather, it was in an image of the nighttime, which Rashi says doesn't seem so correct, because we know that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have that type of nevuah. But be that as it may, the yichud and the chibur that there was between Moshe Rabbeinu and Hashem wasn't the same all those 40 years that the Mesa Medrash were dying. But once that stopped, which was on Tu B'Av, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu had that yichud and chibur to Moshe Rabbeinu for the nevuah, that became a yomtiv of Tu B'Av. Ulamar, he says a fourth interpretation. He says, as Yom Shebitl Hoshea ben Ela praised the ice, it was the day when the king Hoshea ben Ela, when he nullified the centuries, Shehoshev Yeravim ben Nevad al Adrachim, that Yeravim ben Nevad, who is a wicked king, had set up on the roads, Shalayal Yisrael L'Regel, he didn't want to allow the people to do Ali L'Regel, to go up to Yerushalayim, which is Halacha, three times a year, because he was concerned that then they're going to see the majesty of King Yehuda, which was his competition. He was the Melech over the 10 Aseres HaShvatim, and therefore he made sentries that didn't allow people to go. But V'yomar, however, after him came Hoshea ben Ela, and he said, whichever one they want to go, they can go. Now, as Rashi says, Hoshea ben Ela was a wicked person. He was a wicked king. As it says, V'yas hara ben Hashem, he did the wicked in the eyes of Hashem. However, he wasn't as wicked as the Malchi Yisrael, and therefore he said that he just at least took away the sentries, and he says, look, you don't have to do mitzvahs, you don't have to go to Hashem, whichever one you want to choose, you can go to. You want to go to Avodah Zarah, go to Avodah Zarah. You want to go to Yerushalayim, go to Yerushalayim. And therefore, since that bittul, that nullification of the sentries, which allowed people to go up to Ali L'Regel, to Yerushalayim on the three Yom Tovim, was on Tu B'Av, therefore that became a Yom Tov of Tu B'Av.